Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Well, good morning.
Afternoon.
My gosh, I haven't even woken up yet. Oh, my
Lord.
Welcome back to Edge of Indy. Let me tell you, if you haven't checked out what Edge of Indy is about, where have you been? Well, this is our sixth show now. I know. It's going strong. And, Edge of Indy is literally focused on Indianapolis entrepreneurs, innovators, different marketing, new ideas, trends, especially causes. What's happening in Indianapolis and how we can make a difference in choosing local. I mean, we focus on business growth here, creative agencies, tech scene, modern culture, so many different areas that are happening right here in Indianapolis. And we here at Edge Media Studios and Site Strategics decided to really focus and be able to promote these different events and different situations because we don't see enough of the focus on Indianapolis, right?
Right.
Well, I'm your host. I'm Aaron Sparks. We also have Stephanie Daly from Site Strategic.
Hi.
And we also have a guest here, and this gentleman is Mark Light. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome, more than welcome. Mark here represents a particular cause and a particular story that we wanted to bring to your attention. Mark is a founder of the Pancreatitis Foundation. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about that organization?
Yeah, the Pancreatitis Foundation was formed. We've actually been an organization technically for about 8 years now, uh-huh. Although just in the last year or so, we've kind of gone through a rebirth. But we were formed 8 years ago after I had suffered a particularly serious bout with pancreatitis myself. Mm-hmm. And we founded really with a three-pronged mission, although my motivation at the time, I've never made any bones about that, was I didn't even set out to form a philanthropic organization or a foundation. I was simply looking for a way to remain in contact with, after a long illness with pancreatitis myself that lasted about a year, I was looking for a way to remain in touch with some people who had treated me very, very well, and I'd gotten good treatment from them. I was about ready to get that pat on the back and say, you're all well now, go have a nice life. And I wasn't quite ready to let go.
Mm-hmm.
So long story made extremely short, we ended up becoming a foundation then with a three-pronged mission that and we were about pancreatic disease,
right,
a very catch-all thing at that point in time. But it was to raise awareness, provide support, mm-hmm, for patients and families of patients suffering from pancreatic disease,
mm-hmm,
and promote research for pancreatic disease. And since then, we have sort of zeroed in on specifically pancreatitis, and maybe even more specific than that, children with pancreatitis,
right,
although pancreatitis is what we're about.
And that's laudable, and you don't come across that many people that, I mean, in one scenario, just suffering from the disease and being able to recover from it and go on with your life. I mean, that's a strength of character and courage in its own right. But giving back and turning around and creating something and founding something that can help other people, we certainly champion that type of investment into the community. So we wanted to get you on the show because it's not only about the foundation, there's also about a little girl's story as well who's actually suffering from pancreatitis right now. Can you tell us a little bit about M?
Yeah, and before I tell you about Em, I just say that there she is.
She's so sweet.
And I can tell you she is every bit as amazing a little girl as you see in the pictures and on the web and on TV and that type of thing as she looks. She and more so.
Fantastic.
I think that to your point, we all have painful experiences in life, and I think that if you can find a way to take something that was a really painful, in my case, a painful experience for me, and mm-hmm, turn that into something to help
absolutely
people who are going through a similar experience, I think that you get, you go even beyond, finding a purpose behind that, but, it turns that really into a blessing. So,
right. Absolutely.
Yes.
Emily is a little girl that I've known about. In fact, her father and I had some connections through some networking and business connections for a number of years now. And we found out about one another with our struggles with the disease about a year and a half, going on 2 years ago. And I did have the foundation, although the foundation was kind of at that point in time floundering. And I had offered, you know, in a conversation with her father, Chris, to offer support. That was one of the things. And by support, really, I meant moral support. You know, just a lot of times it's very, very therapeutic for people connected to somebody with the disease to just know somebody else who understands. And we had had a lot of brief conversations, I guess I'll call them, but nothing really in any depth. Well, it was about April, late April of this past year, somewhere in there where Chris had said that that you know, and I would be in touch with him off and on periodically about Emily's condition, and it was not getting better, but it was at that point that he intimated to me that they had been brought to a place that they kind of seen coming but feared, and that they were going to start, her situation was forcing them to start asking for financial help. Well, I mentioned to him that, well, we have the foundation. Maybe there's something we can do to kind of help streamline fundraising, but no real idea. And again, a bicycle ride was born. It was a pipe dream of mine to do a cross-country bike ride, and I just took the two together, put the two together, and that was how my connection to Emily was first hatched.
So the gentleman you're speaking of, the father, that's Chris, and his daughter Emily. She's 4 years old, and she lives with pain every day, and has just undergone a life changing surgery that could actually change that. So she's suffering from pancreatitis, and it's an extremely painful condition. So can you tell us, before we get into the fundraising effort that he had, tell us what pancreatitis is?
Yeah, the first, I guess, word to describe it is pain. I mean, just indescribable, exceedingly painful illness. I think that if you ever know somebody who's in the medical profession, a nurse or a doctor, if you mention to them that you've had pancreatitis, the first thing you'll notice is they wince. Yeah, they wince and go, "Oh gosh, I'm so sorry." The illness, It affects 300,000 Americans a year, and these numbers are from the National Pancreas Foundation, which is a different organization from the one that I founded. Sure. They're about educating, but according to their website, it affects 300,000 Americans per year, and about 10% of those sufferers do ultimately die from their disease. On top of that, like I said, but the vast majority of the other 90%, so to speak, really have what we'll call a minor bout where they're on pain medication in the hospital for a few days and they go on to live happily ever after. That being said, 10% of 300,000 people, that makes it, from what I'm told, more deadly than all but just a couple of different forms of cancer out there. So it is a big problem, even though it affects a relatively small subset of people. And it's extremely rare for children to get the disease, which presents.
Yeah, I had never heard of a child having it before, but yeah.
Yeah, and I know that was a big part of Chris and Liz Tyson's challenge with Emily, was that she went undiagnosed for a long period of time.
Yeah, it was a couple of years.
Yeah. And I do know from experience that there are some medical professionals out there that simply, I don't want to say don't believe that that pancreatitis is something children can get, but they tend to, in my experience, make assumptions that it's got to be something else, and that pathology is so extraordinarily rare that oftentimes, as sick as these children are, to use Emily as a specific example, as sick as she was, she went undiagnosed for a long period of time. Then top of that, you add, and it's partly due to that, the financial challenges that families with children face with this illness face. You know, oftentimes insurance companies are not picking up the tab for things because they see it as an adults-only disease. So there are procedures and certain things that they'll say, well, no, we're not picking up the tab for this treatment because we don't have that classified as something that children get.
Yeah.
So
That's terrible, and it has an emotional drain, certainly a financial drain. So there are unique challenges that children face when they have pancreatitis. Tell us about that. I mean, what happens to the pancreas and what's happening to these children?
Yeah, I was in my 30s and 40s when I had the illness.
Right.
And so I can't imagine. I mean, it's one thing to try to imagine what Emily has been facing for her entire life, but to even worse than that is trying to imagine what it must be like as a parent to watch your child suffer. The best way to describe what pancreatitis is and what's happening here, and this is a layperson's explanation,
sure,
is that the pancreas secretes some pretty powerful digestive juices.
Right.
You know, these are juices that is explained to me by a doctor once. This can turn a steak into mush.
Oh,
so it's pretty powerful stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, if the pancreas is producing these digestive juices, but the juices cannot escape the pancreas,
mm-hmm,
for one reason or another, it's digesting itself.
Right.
And that is as painful as it sounds, and it becomes extremely painful extremely quickly. And there are a number of things, as I understand it, that can contribute or cause the pancreas to, you know, for this to happen.
Mm-hmm. So that's the disease. But whenever it applies to children, just like you're talking about, Emily herself has never known life without pain.
Not to my knowledge, no.
And that is as an inescapable truth there, and obviously our hearts go out to the family, because I mean, just understanding that a little girl never has been able to even experience a normal day, a normal life. I mean, you really can't even process.
But you would never know it to meet her ever. I mean, she is the sweetest, the cutest, the most heartwarming little girl. I mean, she just has this bright light inside of her. I mean, I really don't know how else to explain it, really. And she's just an amazing little girl.
Oh, that's fantastic. Stephanie,
that's so true.
It is.
And anybody that's ever met her shares that that opinion of her. But having said that, what's kind of interesting is, and this isn't an opinion or a thought echoed by a lot of adults who've suffered from chronic pancreatitis, as Emmy has, is that's almost a curse. People will tell them, in spite of daily pain and incredible health challenges that are, you know, related but mm-hmm, not directly the pancreatitis themselves, people will say, but you don't look sick.
Oh,
so a lot of times medical professionals, even adults, will assume that they're looking for pain. You know, they'll tab them as seekers, you know, and that type of thing. So as amazing as Emily looks and really is, even when she, you know, was in the height of her illness, even that by itself is not always such a positive thing as it relates to the pancreatitis.
Yeah.
And that's more of a sociological statement that, you know, even if you're suffering and you're able to put on a good smile, I mean, we as society need to be able to open up and be able to help people wherever they are, not have that level of judgment displaced focus. I mean, you've got to know where people are in their journeys, and you've got to be able. I mean, children aren't even able to express what they're experiencing.
Right.
That's a good point.
You know, and you need to be able to. You know, I say this blindly out of just a pursuit of the children. I mean, you need to be able to have an environment that can pay attention and can be acutely aware of what a child's going through.
Well, you use the word aware, and that's kind of what we're about.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, and then you add on to the point you just made, that pancreatitis also happens to be a disease that all by itself mm-hmm is stigmatized, because statistically, I think it's the second most common cause of pancreatitis in adults is alcohol abuse.
Right. Yep.
And so you throw that out there.
Right.
It's got a stigma already.
Well, for myself, and alcohol was not a contributing factor for my disease, but the most common question, follow-up question I get when I mention, you know, the first question is, are you okay now? Second question is, were you an alcoholic at one point? No, I was not an alcoholic at one point.
Great beginning of a conversation.
Exactly, yeah. It's gotten to the point where a lot of times, particularly if I'm talking to somebody who's a nurse or, you know, in the medical profession, the first thing, I won't even wait for the question. because a lot of times it won't get asked, but I'll say, and I'm not an alcoholic and I never was.
They just kind of assume. Know?
But yeah, exactly. I could see the thought bubble formed over
absolutely.
Your head. You know? And there was a situation a couple of years ago where there was a little boy from Ohio that we were doing some work with, and part of the frustration in treating him and his illness, and he ultimately had the same surgery that Emmy had just yesterday, but they were getting, his mother was in a conversation was saying that at one point, or more than one point, medical professionals were asking, did the little boy get into your liquor cabinet?
Are you?
And
that is so awful.
Yeah, and that it's
that'll
take
awful.
You back. You're watching your child suffer, and you can't end the suffering. And not only that, there's questions about
some sort of
things like that.
Being,
right?
Being,
exactly.
Oh Lord, that's disgusting. So Emily had a surgery yesterday. At Cincinnati Children's Hospital, the doctors actually have performed the operation that they did on Emily, only with 14 other children. And she was scheduled, it's a dramatic surgery. They actually removed Emily's insulin-producing islet cells.
Islet cells.
Islet, I'm sorry. and transplanted them into her liver. It's a very complicated procedure, 14 hours. And the whole point is to be able to get rid of these heavy doses of pain pills that she's been on this entire time. So can you tell us a little bit about how she was able to, how the surgery go and how is Emily doing right now?
What blew my mind is the post that I saw where the doctor said that her pancreas that they removed was the size of his thumb. Like,
oh my God.
Just that, I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Terrible.
The surgery, yeah, and I followed it on social media like a lot of other people yesterday, and I've stayed close to the family,
right.
and having a little bit of background with the illness, and at one point I was a candidate for that surgery mm-hmm. myself, mm-hmm. and still may be at some point myself again before I get through this life. The surgery is called we refer to it as a TPAIT, total pancreatectomy auto islet cell transplant.
Okay.
And what that means is they removed her pancreas in a 14-hour procedure. I'm going to make it sound like it was, you know, a root canal here. Mm-hmm. But in a 14-hour procedure, they removed her pancreas. They harvested her islet cells,
right.
which produce insulin.
Right.
And they have attached them to her liver in hopes that while the goal is to get rid of the pancreatitis and all of the, or hopefully all of the resulting medical and health fallout that comes with chronic pancreatitis, including
right.
the pain,
right.
but avoid becoming a type 1 diabetic for life.
Oh.
So by removing the islet cells and attaching them to the liver, what you're ultimately trying to do is you're trying to trick those cells into believing that they're at home and they'll continue to produce insulin
right.
and the patient won't be a type 1 diabetic. My understanding is that's only successful about half the time.
Got it.
But yeah. it tells you a little bit about pancreatitis as a disease, in my opinion. If people will say the risk of, you know, high risk of becoming a type 1 diabetic for life is worth it if it means getting rid of the pancreatitis.
Getting rid of the pain, right, yeah.
Well, so she obviously got through the surgery, and we're watching Facebook, and Chris is posting some pictures, and God bless her, that little darling is connected to so many dials and so many gadgets. It's unbelievable. So she's out of it. She's starting to recover right now. How did she do in the surgery?
She like I said, I stayed attached to it or stayed up on it
yeah.
On social media, and she did extremely well throughout
Fantastic.
Her surgery. After she was I guess moved out of the operating room.
Right.
There was a slight complication where they had to take her back to the OR to
stop
some.
That was so scary last night.
It was a little frightening.
Yeah.
It was, yes, yeah. It was a little bit worrisome, yeah. Especially late at night when you're thinking.
Like 11:45, you know.
All
of these
people.
Everybody thinks everybody's asleep, but we're not.
No, the world was very much awake.
Yeah.
These people who are following her story. There was a collective sigh of relief, only to a few minutes later get, Liz, her mother, posted an update that she had been moved back to the OR,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little worrisome. She came back out a little while later and was back in recovery, and like you said, on a ventilator, which is a tough thing to see.
It's a horrible thing to see.
It's that whole perspective of watching your child go through this. I can tell you, as somebody who's been on a ventilator a couple times, it's one of the most traumatic and uncomfortable and scary things that I think you can go through medically or anything in life. And then she managed to eke out a bit of a smile while on the ventilator last night. And I'm like, wow. I mean, we have used, this is virtually everybody I know who's followed the story, has used the word courage to describe her and her parents, her entire family. That was a courageous moment right there.
Yeah.
It really was.
It certainly does clarify things in life whenever you would. I mean, your heart goes out to them, but boy, it does put things in perspective of what you really have to care about, what you really have to focus on. So, in the spirit of that, how can we help her family? How can we show what's going on with Emily, as well as how can we help in the fundraising for your foundation?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking. I think the biggest single biggest thing that anybody can do is just what you're doing right now. Help us get this story out. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing story. It's one that needs to be told. Emily, as amazing as she is, I would argue that the most amazing thing about her is how she has brought so many people together. Yep. And if I do my part, and a lot of us with the Pancreatitis Foundation and foundations like it do our part here, she has helped countless people just by sharing her story. And you know, there are people I know coast to coast because I met them this past fall who now know what pancreatitis is. So what she's done to help raise awareness.
Yep.
So the biggest thing is help keep that story alive and get that going. No matter how it goes from here, it's an amazing story and one that you know, she's not the only person by any stretch that's living this. She just happens to be the one that right now we're telling and that really has an amazing story. So that's the first thing. We are continuing to work to raise money through what I've referred to as the Emmy Smiles campaign.
Right.
Chris and Liz, the Tyson family, their need for financial support. She's going to be in Cincinnati for at least a couple more months, and it could be a lot longer than that. So we're continuing to raise money, at least through the middle part of this year, from that Emmy Smiles campaign that ultimately goes on to support the Tyson family with expenses that are both related to but not related or unrelated to her, but I guess I should say indirectly related to her medical care.
Absolutely.
Things like housing and transportation and, you know, time off work that Chris has to take, you know, and that type of thing. So I know they have their own fundraiser at emmyjoe.com.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the website,
right,
and then on the Pancreatitis Foundation right now, that's the one family, the one child we're right now supporting. And if you go to emmysmiles.com, then it goes through the Pancreatitis Foundation.
Fantastic.
The goal is, and this is kind of where they're in such a potential, again, if we do our part, they're in a pay it forward position, and Chris and I have had this conversation. Mm-hmm. We could end up, you know, right now we're only about halfway to our overall goal for fundraising for the family. But if we are fortunate enough to meet or exceed that goal, we may be in a position to. There are a lot more Emily Tysons out there in the world that people don't know, whose stories need to be told, and there will be in the future. We may be set up in a position, and that's really ultimately what we want to do, is to be able to help future families and children.
Do some sort of kickstart, some sort of fundraising for families that are going through this. It's not just the child, it's the caregivers and what they're experiencing and what they have to jettison just to completely care for their children. It's our job as society to be able to come around these individuals, these families, and be able to help. I mean, and for those of you who are listening to this show on Facebook, I mean, this is where social media should really be used regularly, instead of the caterwauling and all of the political strife that you see again and again and again in social media channels. Use it for good. Showcase Emily Smiles, M Smiles, hashtag EMME Smiles, and lift it up. share this show, share what's going on with them. And we're going to have all the links inside this broadcast, as well as the show page. This is where you can really help. This is where you can really do the right thing inside of social media and get the word out. Everybody's got a tribe. Everybody's got a series of followers. You need to bring attention to this family, what this little girl is going through, as well as be able to step up and step into that role of focusing on a cause that's good.
Leadership?
Right? Absolutely. Be leaders in your community.
Password.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the Citratigus password.
It's not our password. It's our buzzword.
It's our mantra for
the
year.
It's our mantra for the year. Chris wrote a message and he said, "We just showed Emmy the video and said, Mr. Mark is talking about her and she tried to smile." Oh, how sweet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, what an incredible connection that she and I have gotten.
And speaking of tribes, you guys, I remember you guys talking about doing this in a group that we were in. And I remember you guys kind of went back and forth because they were having problems. It was like, okay, how can we donate? How can we do this? And then just kind of amplified from there. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, the city of Indianapolis loves this little girl. Fantastic. I mean, I don't know if you could tell, but they really love this little girl, and she's so inspirational. And anything we can do to help her out, we are just absolutely willing to do. Absolutely.
Yeah, the city has really gotten behind her, and so have a lot of other people.
Yeah, it's really very incredible what you can do you put your mind to it.
Better believe it. So emmyjo.com/donations. Help the family out. Share this feed. Share the story. You were able to with your cross country bike ride raise $30,000 to help out the family. I mean, their overall costs run much higher than that. So I mean, they have challenges with insurance. You help them as much as you can. This is the time where we absolutely should be giving. What's coming up in the foundation? What other activities are you going to be doing?
We are. We're going to remain committed to Emmy Smiles as our one girl.
Yep.
For at least through the halfway point of this year. We are going to, and as great as we did, and as generous as people were during the bike ride and during that part of the fundraising, if you will, we have only gotten about halfway toward where we really wanted to be from the financial point of view.
Understood.
So a group of us are, and by group, I mean some of us are connected to the bike ride itself, and people who followed this incredible cross-country journey would know a few of the players. Mm-hmm. We are going to be going to the Grand Canyon this June. Assuming we get our permit approved, which I applied for that. I was awake at 2 o'clock this morning, you know, sending a fax in. This is how the National Park Service. Exactly. Looking where I am in the studio here. It was a fax, no emails. But I had to send a fax in to the National Park Service and make a backcountry permit request. But that's how the bike ride and the whole, ultimately, I guess indirectly, the Emmy Smiles campaign was born. When we were first being formed 8 years ago or longer ago, as a foundation, one of our founding members, a gentleman by the name of Tim Roberts, who I refer to him as the judge from up in Wabash, Indiana, he had had a very life-threatening course of pancreatitis, similar to the one that I had in his 50s. Mm. As part of what he did when he got well, and he, you know, to be very blunt about it, he never should have survived his illness, but he did. One of the things he did was he went out and hiked rim to rim of the Grand Canyon. And talk about courage. You know, there's courage and then there's craziness. And he was somewhere on that.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, not exactly sure, but it was somewhere in between those two. But he had never been to the Grand Canyon. He was an outdoorsy type, but went out by himself and hiked rim to rim of the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
And this is before I met
by
him.
By himself.
By himself. It wasn't until after that that I met him, mm-hmm. and it took a couple years for me to get the gumption up. But as we were kind of forming this foundation, he wanted to turn that into a fundraising event. Well, he took me out to the Grand Canyon, and up until I was 46 years old, to me, an adventure was, you know, getting on a cruise ship and not really exactly sure what, you know, what ports of call were,
exactly.
you know. But I went out and hiked rim to rim of the Grand Canyon with him in 2012, and it was a transfer. I mean, just a life changing experience.
That's a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah, that's where the whole bucket list item, if you will, of cross country bike riding was born. I came out of that Grand Canyon thinking there's nothing I couldn't do. So, in getting back to our roots, it's been a couple of years since we've been out to the Grand Canyon, but we're going to go out there in June, assuming the Park Service approves our request.
Yeah. Who do we have to tweet to get that done? Because, I mean, that's...
You actually think they're on social media if they have... They've got to be.
Everybody is. They have to be.
Let's find out. They don't use email,
so...
They don't use email?
Now, I've heard about these bogus tweets that the social... That the Twitter, you know, that the National Park Service has. I don't know. But they do their... permit requesting the old-fashioned way. The fact that I woke up and put this request in at midnight, the very first moment that you can
exactly
do this via fax.
In
their time zone, exactly.
And
yes.
You have a fax machine.
Well, I sent it from my iPhone.
Okay, I got you. I was just making sure.
The National Park Service has the only fax machine, I think, left. Everybody who sends them faxes, I'm sure, is doing it from iPhones and computers.
My husband has a fax machine.
So hopefully our backcountry permit will be approved. And if it's approved, we're hoping it's for the first or second weekend of June.
Oh, very cool.
And we will start talking about this. And one of the things that I thought maybe the case and seems to have really proven to be the case is doing these adventurous things that a lot of people think are crazy, and they may be right about that, is it does bring some eyeballs onto the adventure, and it gives us a platform, a great platform, to tell our story, continue to tell Emmy's story, to help raise those funds and awareness, and also be kind of within our roots as an organization. We were kind of born with one of our founders doing a rim-to-rim hike of the Grand Canyon and
go big or go home.
It was part of his healing process, and so.
Well, fantastic. Any final thoughts regarding the foundation, regarding Emmy's family, Emmy? Just give us a couple words of wisdom and some inspiration on what we can do out there.
Yeah, I just want to I have to thank the Tyson family. I mean, we throw around the word courage, right, which we've done, but for them to have the courage to ask for and graciously accept the help and, you know, allow.
That is not easy.
That is not easy.
An easy thing to do.
No, it is not an easy thing to do. And then to allow Emily to be, for lack of a better term, paraded out as a poster child to help so many people and help advance a cause. This child, the people she's brought together from now all over the country, who are connected to myself, her, and the cause, is amazing. So I can't thank all of these people, starting right with the Tyson family and that whole massive extended family that they have there. They've been absolutely wonderful. And I just would urge people to stay with us, stay behind us. We're growing this thing. Ultimately, there are a lot more people, specifically children, who we want to get out and help, just like what we've been trying to do with Emily and the Tyson family.
All right. Well, certainly from Edge of Indy, we certainly want to challenge all of our listeners and all of our viewers, get involved. It's not enough to watch passively. You need to step up and get involved in stories and be able to help where you can. That's the entire point here. So let us know if anybody has any questions, anything. We'll certainly post up Mark's information on the show notes. But Mark, where can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on the best place is via Facebook. I'm not even sure. Mark Light. I guess
Facebook.
It feels like I've been pretty easy to find. Twitter.
You're not too hard to find.
Yeah, I've been easy to find. But you can email mark at thepankfoundation.com is my email.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's mark@thepankfoundation.org is my email address.
Okay.
And through our website.
Yeah, it's Facebook/PankC. .com.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And again, MEMMEJOE.com/donations to help out the Tysons. All right.
Do you guys have any more bracelets?
Oh,
You know what? the bracelets, as cool as they are, we've got a police officer in Tempe, Arizona, wearing these that I met along my journey, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, he's a triathlete and wearing his bracelet. It's incredible. Those were not something that I created. Those came from the Tyson family.
I bet I know who did those.
And yes, so we need to get our hands on more of these bracelets.
Absolutely.
I've only got two wrists and I go everywhere with my bracelets. But
I bet that was Shawnee that did that. So shout out to Shawnee.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So, you know what? We may actually want to see what we can do to help get a few hundred or 200 or 1,000 bracelets out on behalf of this coming from Site Strategic. So maybe we can help get the word out that way.
Thank you so much,
guys. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much, Mark. And thanks for everybody listening today. Watch Edge Indy. We're going to be constantly focusing on local things, local doings, goings on here. If you have somebody that you or a cause that you want to focus on, give us a shout. We'll certainly have a look and get you on the show here. So this is Edge of Indy. Always choose local. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.